in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. He said, pay close attention to yourself. That's your life first, and then your teaching. And persevere in watching your life and watching your teaching. Because if you do this, it's a great verse, you will first of all save yourself, ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you. Anyone who preaches God's word should keep that verse in mind all the time. Take heed to yourself first, not to your teaching. Watch your life, because all of us are not called to be teachers. But all of us must live the life. But among those who live the life, some like Timothy and Paul are called to teach. Then they must take heed to their teaching also, that their teaching is accurate. And that's the tragedy today in Christendom. People do not start with their life. They seek to be scholars. They go to a Bible school and they get some information. And they're without a life to back up that knowledge. And the result is we have multitudes of 21st century Pharisees abounding in Christendom today. So if you look at the whole truth of the New Testament as a painting of the face of Jesus. No one has ever seen the face of Jesus, so no one can paint a perfect picture. But if someone could have taken a photograph of Jesus' face when he was alive 20 centuries ago, and if he could see that, and if there was a big picture of that stuck on a wall of the face of Jesus, that would be the full teaching of the New Testament. But if someone has torn parts of it away and the face is all disfigured, it's like a paper print on the wall, but parts of the paper are turned away, you see one eye and one ear and the chin. That's not Jesus. That's disfigured. That is a picture of modern day preaching. It's not a clear picture of Jesus Christ. It's disfigured. There are parts of it that are true. One ear, one nose, one strand of hair. That's not Christ. None of us would have put a picture like that of, you would not put a picture of your father like that on the wall, disfigured and torn here and there. And yet that is the gospel that so many are preaching today. And I'm sorry to say that's the gospel I preached for a long time in my early Christian life. For 16 years of my Christian life after I was born again. I was born again in 1959, 63 years ago. And for the first 16 years, I never knew what it was to overcome sin. I knew what it was to be forgiven. I knew what it was to repeatedly fall and repeatedly confess and repeatedly be forgiven. It was like these children sit on these merry-go-rounds in the parks. You go round and round and round and round for hours and you're still in the same spot. There's been a lot of motion, but no progress. So that was my life, and that's the life of most Christians I have met. They repent of something and they ask God to forgive them and the Lord forgives them. They are cleansed and they go around and again they fall, again they repent and again ask for forgiveness. And endlessly for years, it was like that for me till I got fed up of my life, of my defeated life. And I was preaching. That was the worst part of it. What was I preaching? I was preaching with the background of a defeated life. And I was just like everybody else. I didn't have a spiritual father to guide me. That was part of the problem. I wish I had. I could have come to the truth much earlier. So I had to struggle my way through to find the truth. But I was desperate. And I remember in 1974, that's 48 years ago, for a period of about 6 months, I was so desperate, defeated, and I began to cry out to God along with one other brother. And prayed and fasted and sought God and said, Lord, I ask you for one thing. I'm not asking you to make me a great preacher. I'm asking you for one thing. And that is that my outer life will and my inner life will correspond with what I preach. That the way I live at home and my thought life and my attitudes to people and the motives with which I serve you will correspond with what I preach, with the highest standard of the gospel, especially my thoughts, my attitudes, and my motives. And my life at home. This is very important. If your life with your wife and children at home and your thoughts in your mind and your attitudes towards people and the motives with which you seek to serve God are not pure, I want to say to you very lovingly, dear brother, dear sister, you are a hypocrite. You are on the same path as those Pharisees to whom Jesus said, you clean the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is filthy. You're like whitewashed tombs, look so beautiful on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. Now those are harsh words to speak to people who are born again. But I've seen through the years that sometimes a strong rebuke is needed to wake people up from their slumber. The devil's put a lot of Christians to sleep. What I mean is, they're defeated in their life, there's sin in their private life, and they're asleep. Somebody has to wake them up. And that's part of my calling. Because that's the way God did with me. He shook me up and woke me up. So I just want to share a few things so that we get it all right. You know, teaching in a church, God's called me to be a teacher and gifted me that way. And teaching in a church is very different from teaching in a classroom in a school. Because when a teacher teaches in a school, everybody sitting there is in the same class. They may be all kindergarten students or all first grade students or all 10th grade students. But teaching in a church, we have people there sitting all the way from the kindergarten all the way to grade 10. So imagine a teacher who has to teach a class where there are students sitting there all the way from kindergarten, grade 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 10. So then one has to speak to everyone. So I want to speak briefly to everyone, especially to those who may have come newly to the church and to the children who are growing up in our church, who've never understood fully how to begin the Christian life. So let me begin there. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 that wherever he went, he preached two things to the whole world, and he called the whole world Jews and Greeks. The Israelites divided the world into Jews and non-Jews, who they called Greeks. And he said to the whole world, Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Acts 20, verse 21. He said to Jews and to Greeks, there are two things I preach, repentance and faith. Those two truths are necessary if one is to begin the Christian life right. They're like the two wires in electricity that touch at a switch and the lights come on. If you open up a switch, you'll see all you see inside is two wires. And when you put on the switch, those two wires touch and the lights come on. When you turn off the switch, those two wires are separated. That's all there is in a switch. Repentance and faith are like those two wires. If they don't touch, there is no light. We've got an incomplete gospel. So, repentance means a turning around from sin. And faith means a dependence upon Christ, like a branch that is helplessly dependent upon the tree to produce fruit. Even if that branch has been there for 50 years in that tree, it cannot produce fruit if it is still not in the tree. 50 years of experience that a branch has in producing fruit will not help it to produce fruit today if it does not stay in the tree. You cannot produce fruit, Jesus said, if you don't abide in me. And that's true for the new convert as well as the senior believer.